Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. We've got another week. We've got another great interview. This gentleman is by the name of Gail Denninger. He is the founder and CEO of Cap Logistics. And in the studio today, I've got Reed Francis. Once again, how you doing?
Doing well, and yourself?
I'm well, thank you very much. You had a busy week?
Yeah, I was in Dallas for a conference, and it was a lot of fun. I relied on coffee, and I'm pretty sure I ate my weight in bread pudding, and it was amazing. Actually, I lost weight, believe it or not. I don't know how that's possible, but I did.
It's the stress. It's the stress. Well, anyway, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. We're so glad that you are here. This is where the industrial professional comes to talk. I am your industrial cheerleader. I'm passionate about making you guys a success out there. So thank you very much for joining. We've got a great show ahead of you, so stand by. All right, we've had some technical difficulties this morning, haven't we, Reed?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
And for me personally, I don't know how in the heck technology in general just decides not to work because it's just zeros and ones, and for whatever reason, it decided it didn't want to work. So,
well, it's just got mind of its own.
That's why I'm bald and going balder because of the stinking stress. I appreciate the patience on that one. So, anyway, like I said, we've got a great show. We got a gentleman by the name of Gail Denninger. He is the founder and CEO of Cap Logistics. And quite frankly, man, it there's some times when you just I'm living a dream here, Reed, and I get to be able to interview some great people, and this one was just right at the top. And he really focuses on supply chain, but man, his heart is huge. So
that's good to come across those people, though.
For me personally, it's great, man. So anyway, let's get the show on the road. Let's start our tailgate.
Tailgate talk number one.
All right, we got a little business. So pen and paper out, all that good stuff with Reliability Web. That's reliabilityweb.com. They've got a number of conferences that you need to be aware of. First off, go out to reliabilityweb.com and find out everything that they got. They're everywhere. They're busy, and they are just passionate about their reliability business. So the one that comes and pops up right now is July 17th, July 19th. And this is in our neck of the wood, Reed. This is in New Orleans, Louisiana. This is the Asset Condition Monitoring Training Symposium. Go out there. It'll be a fun time. I know I'm going to be there just because, well, why not? Because I am here in Mandeville, and I'm right across from New Orleans. So that's one thing. And they got another one that's out there, and it's June 6th to June 7th. This is in Birmingham, UK. That's a little international stuff. And it's also Reliability and Asset Management Training Symposium. And then the final one is the one that I will be broadcasting from, and that is April 23rd to the 27th, and this is in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is the Reliability Conference. I'm excited about being there. Anyway, so those are the things that are taking place within the Reliability Web space. Go out to reliabilityweb.com. Find out more. This just is the tip of the iceberg, Reed. This is just the tip of the iceberg on what they provide internationally. They're very passionate about that stuff. So anyway.
Number two.
That's right. It's the BIC Leadership Series. This is the Critical Communication Skills. It is scheduled for April 4th and is from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. So I think you need to get out there. You need to look at it. It can be found at BIC Magazine. Go to the BIC events and find the Leadership Series, Critical Communication Skills, and all that fun stuff. So,
number three.
Okay, so time is money, and this is just really in tune with the interview that we have. Time is money, and so you think about that, and you think about uptime. You think about that asset being up, and you need to be a time slayer when it comes to these big assets, right?
Absolutely.
So everything needs to be focused on how you can definitely optimize your time. And so this is a great segue into the interview that we have with Gail Denninger. I've had the fortunate opportunity to be able to interview this gentleman. And this, I had to tell you, man, I'm a big fan of supply chain management. But you sit there and you wonder, okay, what if something really happens and really bad happens and you got an asset that's down, and every minute you're losing money. Well, Gail's company, Cap Logistics, they're the ones you call. And so he's amazing, and he's out there on LinkedIn, and you need to go also. They constantly produce information too. So Cap Logistics has a LinkedIn account out there too as well. But find out everything you can about this gentleman, because he's got a big heart. He cares about his people. He is passionate about his purpose. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to interview him. Reed, you got anything to say?
I mean, I think the important thing about these interviews you do is that you got to be constantly focused on getting more knowledge. You know what I mean? And that's what Gail has to offer.
Oh, he's and he's got 30 some odd years. So anyway,
right.
It's awesome. Let's go right in. You stop listening to me. Let's get right into the meat of things. So here is Gail Dininger with Cap Logistics. All right. I'm here with Gail Dininger. Did I say that right, Gail?
That's about as good as anybody's ever said it.
Thank you very much. I typically, unfortunately, butcher languages and names like nobody else. So I'm glad I at least got close to that name. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. Are you doing well?
I'm doing fine and dandy. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the opportunity to go visit with you today.
The pleasure's all mine, I got to tell you. I've been looking forward to this interview because as I scour the World Wide Web and I looked at your LinkedIn and who you are and interfacing with a lot of the people, I'm truly looking forward to this conversation. Now, let me just get right to the point. Now, In a very simple way, Gail, what do you provide with Cap Logistics?
Cap Logistics was designed about 36 years ago to help people in crisis situations. So we work with oil and gas and mining and power generation, manufacturing, to be that last measure of support when everything falls apart.
And when you say crisis situations, you're a logistics company and say, hey, for lack of a better term, my disgruntificator has gone out and I need one today. In fact, I need one yesterday to get my plant back up because I'm losing millions. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So we work with end users in the industries that we're talking about. We also work with a lot of companies like Caterpillar that supply those critical parts. So almost everything that we touch is made out of pig iron.
Just the name pig iron alone is just very cool. So how did somebody like you, I mean, I don't go to school and say, hey, I like logistics, but I want to be able to focus in on the critical and critical logistics services. How did you get involved in that there, Gail?
Oh, I think it's so long ago that I can't remember anymore. I just remember being a hardcore unemployable. sort of had a mutual relationship with my boss at the time that I didn't like the way he was doing things. He didn't like the way that I was doing things. And having more guts and chutzpah and hubris than common sense, I put an X on the calendar and decided 1 year from that day that come hell or high water, I was going to start a business.
And then that was it. You just said, that's it. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to live, breathe, eat this particular business, and you did it.
Yeah, that's pretty simple. It was a little bit harder than that.
Yeah, we got limited time, but I understand.
Right.
But, I mean, that, from an entrepreneurial point of view, that's a big step. It's not, hey, I'm going to be selling, you know, cups. You're saying I'm going to be responding to something very complex, and I'm going to make it work. I'm sure you had some ups and downs. What were some of your challenges that you experienced in the beginning?
I think one of the first things that fascinated me was the fact that I had sold for a number of years before I did this. And after I set up the company, I was paralyzed for about 8 days before I had enough nerve and enough confidence in what I was doing to actually try to go out and market. That just blew me away, how scared I was.
That's really interesting. What, and now, were you married at the time?
Oh, yeah.
And what did she think?
My wife has always believed in me. She's a wonderful woman.
Good answer.
We actually make a really good team. We've been married 46 years. She actually has a lot more CEO qualities than I have, a lot more collaborative, smarter, more attention to detail. But she lets me think that I'm smart, that I'm running the place, and that's how I work.
So you start this company out, and it's 8 days, you've been paralyzed, and then all of a sudden you realized I've got to do marketing, or what? What was that just aha moment in that, I guess, that thought process?
Well, that I wasn't going to have much of a business if I didn't get over our fear. So I think gradually each day I probably, you know, got a little bit more sick of myself until I couldn't stand it anymore. And started making some phone calls and started going out there. And I remember the first shipment we got was out of Gillette, Wyoming. It was from a friend of mine. It was a company called Baker Packer in Gillette, Wyoming, going to Baker Packer in Houston. And then the next day we got one more out of Gillette. And then the third day we got some shipments from, it was either US West or Quest or Mountain Bell at the time. And I'm proud to say that after the third day, we never ever got skunked. We always had at least one shipment.
No kidding, really? That's a testament to you and your team, whoever was at the time. Did you, or was it just a solo flyer like you and you just did that at the beginning?
No, I think, you know, you do the best you can, but there's such a huge element of luck.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, I think you can do a lot of things right, and one stupid thing can take you out, or one thing that's not even in your control can take you out. Or by the same token, you know, you might be doing a lot of things wrong, and then for some reason, luck intervenes. So it's almost like karma. You know, I'm not quite a good enough person to enjoy good karma, but I've always been lucky.
Yeah, but you got a great head of hair, and I don't. So that's probably part of the karma.
Well, actually, I shouldn't tell people that, but I had a transplant.
Get out of here. Really?
That's fantastic.
Let me
just off a little bit. See all this hair up here?
Get out of here.
There's a guy that works for the Denver Metro Chamber. His name is Tom, and he was telling me one day how he got a hair transplant. Like, you know what, if you can tell people that, then I'm actually going to try it. So this is totally out of character for me. I'm not vain enough. I think I did it to my wife. I don't know why I did it. I remember being in the parking lot and going, my God, I'd come up with all kinds of reasons not to go in there. Like all kinds of reasons not to make a sales call, you know,
same
thing.
Right.
But then for some reason, I actually went through and did it. It was the best things I ever did in my life.
I'm telling you, it looks great. It's like, I wouldn't know what my kids and wife would think about me if I came back with a head of hair, although I would be very good looking, I guarantee you.
I can see that. I'm holding my finger over your forehead. Holy smokes.
It's an endless forehead.
Right.
Yeah. So let's fast forward right now to Cap Logistics. Where do you stand today? Tell me, outside of that, 37, what do you got there? You got 36 years, it seems like, since 82. What do you guys look like today?
We're made up of many different companies. I think we're made up of anywhere from 8 to 12 companies. One company was called Cap Worldwide. We bought an Australian company. We have a small airline that we started in Denton, Texas, that supports the automotive industry. We have a number of companies that help us run the other companies. So we have a media company. I started the Colorado Business Roundtable. We just are trying to get enough critical mass and enough companies working together so they reinforce each other.
To what end? What is your strategy here? Because that's a very I guess aggressive business model, if I look at it, and what end? What are you trying to accomplish with those companies?
I think all the companies mutually support each other. We've got three companies that are operating companies: a domestic company, international company, and an aviation company. And then we have different companies that are media, different back office companies. And we feel that in order to stay in business over the long run, that we're going to have to understand how to sell. We're going to have assets. We're going to have relationships. We're going to be able to have geographical coverage, that we're going to have to stay on the leading edge. I really believe that people that just are doing one thing and hanging on to that, very, very, very few people like that will survive.
Yeah, that's been sort of the mantra that I've been embracing for a little while. I think that technology, the way you communicate, the realities of digital marketing, and what we're doing here, that genie's been out of the bottle for a little while, and it's just really rapidly changing. And I do believe, if you're not a company that is not actively engaged in knowing how to operate in this new environment, yeah, I think you're going by the way of the dodo. You've got to do it.
And I'm sure you know this also, that when you're a pioneer, when you're leading in what you're doing, you make many, many, many mistakes. And, you know, it's way, way harder than anybody thinks. And I'm pretty convinced that whether it's a piece of technology, it's a radio show, it's anything that should enhance what you're doing, that the majority of people understand less than 5% of the capability of the software program they're using, the radio show they're doing, the event that they're planning. And so if you can just specialize and double your knowledge, you're going to beat everybody else.
And boy, do I agree with that. A little story on my side where I decided that I was going to go all in with, the digital side. And I hired some people and they ran with it. And the real gap and the problem that I saw was that I didn't know. I didn't know what they were doing. There's strategies that can be deployed, and I was not a part of that conversation. And so what I did is I regrouped, and to your point, I'm going to become an expert. Just because, and then you can sit there and strategically figure out what your path forward would be. And it's been a great, painful ride. But I think
so. If I could ask you a question, yeah. You're talking about lessons learned and pain, yeah. And suffering and failure and so on.
Yep.
What have you learned that can help me and help the audience?
Well, here's a funny thing. So for me, being in the industrial space, in the with my other company, Leaf Services, we do a lot of industrial maintenance, marine type of work, things that are associated with that industrial world. And so I'm driving back from a client, and I'm listening to, I'm wrestling with, how in the heck do I speed this knowledge? I mean, the reality is that I have to figure out how do I get a one to many type of conversation going, right? And so I'm driving and I'm seeing, okay, I'm listening to podcasts, and for whatever reason, I decided I can do that. I don't know why. I just said I could do it. Because right. That gives me the ability to be able to do a one-to-many relationship. And then in any time of sales or marketing or whatever, branding, it's know, like, and trust. So now all of a sudden, if I go to you, Gail, and you're whatever, Chevron, and I say, hey, Chevron, I'm Scott McKenzie with Leaf Services, and this is what we do. You're going to say, yeah, you're one of many. Why are you so special? But if I go to you now, Gail, and I say, hey, I'm Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk, and I want to talk to you about your maintenance procedures or what your challenges are and how you came across into, you know, resolving those challenges. I think my listeners want to know, would you be willing to get on my podcast? 100% of the time, they'll say yes. And now all of a sudden, it's a know, like, and trust. Now they're getting ready to know me. It's like, right. Hey, now I know you. That has been the biggest learning a part of. But outside of all the neat little technical stuff and the, right. It's that's one thing. But the ability to be able to truly give and really, like you, Gail, I'm really interested in you and what you do, your team, and I'll do anything because I think that's the sharing economy that we live in today. So it's been fascinating.
It's about the only way we can get things done, I think. It's just too complicated to do everything by yourself.
You can't.
So in talking about Chevron, so, you know, Terry, with Reliability Web,
yep.
I would imagine that he works with Chevron. And your situation, I think you've got a background with Price Waterhouse, so I'm sure you've done some consulting in the back to help companies like Chevron.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, you can help companies like Chevron as far as finding key people that they might use. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because in you know, Gail, I'm going to have to take a break right now. Let's just sort of... Let's reconvene. You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast. I am talking to Gail Dininger, and we're having a great conversation, so hang tight, okay?
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, you got to mark your calendar for April 23rd through the 27th. And this is a reliability conference that is in Las Vegas, Nevada, brought to you by those wonderful people at reliabilityweb.com. It will have all of the great vendors that are there that are really focused and passionate on reliability, as well as the great content and education. It never ends. Those folks at reliabilityweb.com do a great job. Now, I will be there, just like I was at the IMC 2017 conference in Bonita Springs. So if you missed that, and that was in December, you need to make this one, and it is April. Once again, April 23rd through the 27th. This is in Las Vegas, Nevada. Go out to reliabilityweb.com. Get all the information you can about it. I will be there. I hope to see you, and you have a wonderful day. All right, we're back with Gail Dininger. He is a man that has his hands in a number of pots. Fascinating conversation. Gail, we were talking briefly offline. I'd like to ask you a little bit about the future. Now, you've got this logistics company. You respond to critical situations. And where do you see the future going for you? Is there ever going to be a need, and I'm sort of feeding it, but is there ever going to be an opportunity or a point where your services will be impacted in such a way by the future, and they'll be able to get stuff a little bit easier? Where do you see it going?
I think there's two markets, Scott. There's about 90% of the market that's a little bit routine, that as computers get stronger and software gets better and apps get developed, and you've got blockchain and Uber and, you know, every other thing, that more and more people are going to be able to take advantage of that, probably run things from their bedroom or stay in their basement. But there is a certain percentage in our case, and you've got the same thing, where you need to have the specialized person, you need to have the specialized transportation. And so there's a certain segment that has to work in conjunction with zeros and ones, but the zeros and ones cannot completely take out certain elements.
Well, there's the physical aspect of just saying, hotshot it, I've got to stick it on the plane, I've got this multi-billion dollar asset that's down as a result of this particular, we do not have it in inventory, or if it is in inventory, it's over here in Texas or wherever, there's still going to be that physical requirement to deliver that solution.
So one of the things that we're looking at is we have a regional warehouse, and we get involved with a lot of MRO in conjunction with the logistics. And I was meeting with a company last night about the possibility of working with them with 3D printers, so that when you have somebody with a down situation, maybe it's a part that cannot be replicated, or it's one that's going to take 4 months to be able to build, to retool for, can we start working on that? So I think there's a real possibility there that we help people with purchasing. We work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If we work with a 3D company and the technology is such right now that they can start making things out of metal that are not just prototypes, that might be one of the new areas in our future.
How does it differ from a CNC shop where they, you know, it's all computerized and all that good stuff, and they, you know, then you can produce a part? How does a 3D printer differ from a CNC?
I think that they can be built much faster. And maybe I don't know, you know, maybe I'm, you know, just, you know, well, I'm from Colorado, so we have a lot of marijuana out here. Maybe that's the
No.
Even though I haven't inhaled for more than 40 years, and that means, you know, I've behaved myself more than 40 years. I've been married 46 years. I can say that honestly, behaved myself for 46 years.
Yeah, very good, man. Now,
does that make me look good?
Absolutely. But here's the funny thing there, Gal. I still believe in your marketplace, the quote 10%, there's you're not going to get away from being able to deliver that product, that valve, that pump, that whatever that might be.
Absolutely. And we're really lucky because we're located primarily in Denver. Actually, we are located in cities from Chicago on west into Texas, into Utah, Nevada on the West Coast. We have a worldwide market. We work with industries that require a high level of service that generally are located in some kind of a difficult place. So there's a lot of logistics involved, not just moving things, but how do you get it that last mile? How do you get it there in the middle of the night? How do you turn at the third cactus? I don't think that Uber or anything like that or the driverless trucks are going to be able to make that decision.
Yeah, there's no way they're going to be able to make that decision. You're absolutely right on that. Now, what do you recommend if there's some young listeners out here? And one of the things that I'm really passionate about, and I don't have a solid answer. I believe that we who live in the industrial world have unfortunately have not carried on a way of being able to say, hey, get it. If the industrial world needs workers. And if you are that young pup or whatever, there's just too many shiny objects. Why would somebody, and I'll say it, millennial, why would some millennial want to get engaged in supply chain, logistics, any of that type of stuff? What makes it, quote, sexy? Why?
I think that there's a lot of jobs that could be sexy or not sexy, depending upon the company. We believe very much in our people. We try hard to take care of our people. It's our number one asset. So, you know, we're kind of along with the veins of what's your most important thing. Is it customers or employees? It's probably employees. If you treat them right, they're going to treat the customers right. We really do not have a hard time recruiting. We've got a wonderful reputation. We've got tremendous networks. So when you want to find somebody, whether it's a pilot or to find any position, that we do very well. So that's another advantage that we have. We're a good place to work with a good reputation.
See, and I think that is definitely a key, is what I'm getting in some of the conversations, Gail, is that, okay, I'll ask that. What is that noble purpose for CAP Logistics and all of the other companies? What is that noble purpose? Feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, things like that. What does CAP Logistics purpose?
Well, I think a lot of it, you know, it's become in vogue to, what do they call it, green roofs. You know, it's become in vogue to act like you care. And I'm not sure there's all that many companies that really care. You know, it's not really, you know, just a...
That's a real good point. So
what we did for a number of years is, since we're a logistics company, we worked with the National Ski Association, and we brought in every spare coat from every ski area across the United States. We fumigated these things at our expense, and then through different ambassadors and different people, then we coordinated moving generally about 30,000 coats a year into places like Poland, Romania, the Czech Republic, into Afghanistan, into the countries that are along the Andes. And we just did it because, you know, a $400 coat could be a rag in this country, and it can save somebody's life in the other countries. We actually worked with Bagram Air Force Base, with the Canadian government, the U.S. government, and we moved a C-5A, I think it was a C-5A, of agriculture equipment, of medical equipment, and we moved it into the Canadian base, which I think was Bagram. and had it all set up so that these things got delivered out to the people. And we found out about a month afterwards that we saved a lady that was delivering a baby and hemorrhaging, and somehow our medical equipment saved a woman and her baby. So, you know, that still makes me want to cry.
Wow.
You know, that,
that's
that, you know,
amazing.
We actually were able to go help somebody.
Yeah.
That's and not get a damn thing out of it.
Yeah. But that's amazing, because here's the funny thing, Gail. That I think what you said was profound, and the profound part of that is there are a lot of companies because they just act like they care, but really they don't. They're just doing it because it's the right marketing position to be in. But you're the first company I've ever come in contact with that talks about coats and delivering coats. And when you think about that, that's pretty powerful. It just blows me away.
Well, it's fun. We did the same thing. We found out that there was a need for books in South Africa. And yeah. So we got a hold of a book publisher, and they gave us five different kinds of books. You have trigonometry and geometry and the different sciences, calculus. And then we also worked with all the libraries here in Denver, and we also brought in about 30,000 books. And then I went down to South Africa with one or two other people, and we went into all the different townships. So every one of the major cities, Johannesburg and Pretoria and whatever, yeah, you've got, yeah. You know, the side you see, and then you have the other side where life is pretty tough. And so we actually delivered these books, and it was so great. We went to these one person had actually hidden Nelson Mandela underneath the floorboards of her house. So that was Mommy Majorda, I think was her name.
Wow.
You know, that's pretty awesome. And then there was this one place where these kids wanted to have a soccer field. I gave them $100, and then they had a lot of volcanic rock or whatever. So they took that $100 to go make uniforms, and then they put Cap Logistics, our company, on it. And then 6 months later, they send us their uniforms.
Oh, that's
so
that's pretty cool stuff, man.
And so, you know, you can't buy that kind of stuff.
You can't.
Then the other thing, you know, I cry pretty easy. Act like I'm a tough guy. You know, pain doesn't bother me all that much, I don't think. But when we were down there, then these kids, they sing. You cannot believe how beautifully they sing.
Yeah.
And they sang a song called Africa Weeps.
Wow.
And boy, if that doesn't make you a big baby, I don't know what does.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's kids are important to them. Everybody's important.
Yep.
You know, it's not just us and our kids and our grandkids. You know, somebody overseas, their kids mean just as much to them as ours do. And they have nothing to work with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff. Well, let me ask you this. Are you hiring for some of those young people out there?
I'm going to hire you in a minute, you know, with your background. Or what I really want to do is I want to partner with you.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've heard good things about you the few times that we've talked, that I think that you're on a mission and that we're on a mission. And what we can do is connect the resources we have and collaborate and see if we can't help a few people run their organizations better, if we can't help people make a little bit more money, and can maybe we help one or two people along the way, or maybe can we help a couple of students that don't quite know what to do.
I think that to me has a tremendous amount of interest, because I mean, like you said, there are a lot of companies that act like they care, but what I'm getting and what I'm sensing and what I'm seeing is that Cap Logistics and the rest of the Cap family, for lack of a better term,
are really called the Cap family.
Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. And we fight like family, you know.
yeah, but that's a beautiful thing. But I just so some of these individuals that are wrestling, they're millennials, and they get sort of dread. I'm gonna really push. We're doing a roundtable discussions on just millennial solutions, but you're the first person that really has come up to with a real true solution of just truly meaning the about giving, caring, and giving back. And that's a pretty cool thing there, my friend.
Yeah, well, you have to have something first before you can give. And I think that comes normally later in life. But if I had some advice for kids going to school, I'm first generation, and I work with a lot of people that are first generation.
Yep.
And when you go to school, you know, you're fairly ignorant. I didn't know what a fraternity or sorority was. I'd never heard of one.
Right.
You know, until I went to school, just to give you an idea. But I think that when kids are in school, they're hoping that they can take the courses, and then somehow magically something's going to happen. They don't know what, and they don't know how, but they do not work the system. So they don't necessarily try to get internships. They don't necessarily go to the placement office that the universities try to provide. So they're just kind of going through the motions.
Right.
And everybody could up their chances if they would connect with somebody like yourself, or somebody that you know, or somebody that has a little bit of experience, or just to get past a wish and a prayer, because that doesn't work very well.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You're spot on there, Gail. Absolutely. And we're gonna jump off just for a second. We got to take a break. I'm talking with Gail Bighart. I am so proud to be able to have him on the podcast. Hang tight. We will be right back. Hey, once again, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. If you like what you're listening to, please feel free to sign up for the free podcast as well as the blogs. I'll try to keep it all relevant to your business and hopefully be able to provide some insight into what we do at Industrial Talk and what you do as a professional. Hope to see you soon. Thank you. All right, welcome back to the Industrial Talk podcast. I am just honored. For lack of a better term, I don't even know if there's a better term, honored. Yeah, to have Gail on the program, taking time out of his busy schedule, meet with us, talk about a lot of things. But, man, I got to tell you, you've touched my heart, big guy. You touched my heart. I got a question to ask you. What do you want to be known in the marketplace? What do you want to be known? So if somebody comes to you, Gail, what do you want to be known as? I want to be known as...
I think somebody that they can depend on, somebody that they enjoy working with, somebody that gets results, and somebody that actually, you know, whether it's myself or our staff, that they enjoy working with them. I paid the two managers that we have today a compliment of how they've taken the whole operation staff, and they have lightened the place up. So there's different theories of professionalism and doing things right and doing things 100% and quality. And I think that people enjoying what they're doing and customers coming in and enjoying the people they work with is really, really important. So if they enjoy talking to you or feel like they're getting help, that's about as good as it gets.
Reaching back, trying to get a book that I was reading. This is from Daniel Pink, and it's about drive. And what was interesting about the book, it really touches upon the extrinsic motivators versus the intrinsic motivators. And extrinsic, of course, is the carrot and stick. Intrinsic, of course, is of the heart. And anyway, I'll tell you, man, working for you would be a great thing because intrinsically, a lot of people are motivated by you. Hey. How does people get in contact with you?
I guess my cell phone is 303.
Hold on. You sure you want to do that? You sure you want to give your cell phone? Because maybe I'll call you. And no, do you have an email address?
Well, I can do that. Yeah. Sure. Well, my phone does start with a 303. That gives you a 3 of the, 10 numbers? That should help. I don't know.
What about an email?
The next couple are 278. anyway, that's as far as I'm going to go.
Yeah, that's about right.
My email is G-A-D-E, the G-A being for Gail, the D-E being for Bendinger, my last name, @CAP Logistics.com.
Is that logistics with an S?
Yeah, logistics.
Good. .com. Okay, and you'd be more than happy to...
And the dot looks like a period.
Not a dash. It looks like a period. And are
not,
you?
It's not spelled out.
And are you out there on LinkedIn?
I think so.
Yeah,
I'm trying really hard to do a better job on LinkedIn.
Yeah, you're.
I'm kind of old, and all this stuff's hard.
Get out of here. I'm not gonna listen to you. No. Yeah, you're ignoring my invite. So I sat there and let me see. I sent. Oh, it's still pending. My invitation is still pending. And yep, it's you. Okay. You still haven't accepted it.
And so what I promise over the next couple of days, I'll actually answer. I'll have Annette, who teaches me everything, get me up to speed on the next level of LinkedIn. And then I'll be able to go thank you for embarrassing me to the point where I get something done.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, I hate seeing, it's sort of that weird feeling inside of me that when I see just that pending moniker out there, it's like I'm not getting the love that I so deserve. That's it. Right. It's LinkedIn stuff. Anyway,
well, I love you, man. I love you.
Well, accept my doggone invitation, my man. Then prove it. No, hey, Gail, thank you very much. I know you're a busy man. You got a lot of people. I just truly enjoyed and honored to have you a part of this program. I highly recommend everybody out there, find him out on LinkedIn. He's a good guy. He'll eventually say yes. And find out more about Cap Logistics, but just the heart of the company. And fortunately for me, I've had the opportunity to meet some of the people that you put me in contact with, and with 100% certainty, they're all great people. So I am
surprised for you sometime. The person that I can get you in touch with has relationships with Edwards Deming.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah. And that's going to be your Christmas present. And if I could pay you a compliment, I'm not sure how well you do with compliments. But I thought the professionalism that you showed in the preparation and trying to make sure that your customers or your clients or your guests get value is as good as I've ever seen.
Wow.
So I think anybody that you have that you invite would be a fool not to work with you, because you've got one of the classes. No, seriously, I'm involved in a lot of different media, a lot of different things. So we're good in a lot of different areas, but your preparation is incredible.
Why, thank you very much. That is a... That means a lot to me, because you and everybody who's out there in the, that podcast world deserve the very best. And I'm very passionate about just industry as a whole. And I think industry can change lives for the best. And if I can just play a little part in that, so be it. If I could change one life, great, fantastic. I can die a happy man. So,
yeah, you know, we changed a life over in Afghanistan. You can change lives by giving people jobs.
Amen to that, big guy. Amen.
There is nothing more important in the whole world than people's jobs.
Yeah.
I've had a chance to travel in many, many different places. You give somebody a job, they got almost everything they want.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing. That's a great way to end the conversation. Thank you again there, Gail. Thank you for everybody that you put me in contact with. We will be right back on the other side. Stick with the Industrial Talk Podcast. Thank you for joining it. All right, we're going to put this show in the can. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Reed, thank you very much for everything that you do. And really appreciate Gail's time. And I got to tell you, his team, too, as well. They pulled it all together. It was a wonderful interview. Fine. You got to go find him out there in LinkedIn and also his company. It's everywhere. You can find Industrial Talk Podcast. Of course, we've got a YouTube channel. We've got, we're out there on LinkedIn. We're out there on Facebook. We've got a Instagram account. Hey, follow us, because you guys are our lifeblood. And thank you very much. We really appreciate what you do for the economy, all of you industrial professionals out there. And we are just so honored to be able to have you a part of the Industrial Talk Podcast. You got any closing comments, Reed?
No, I mean, it's always a pleasure to be here on the show, and I think we learned a lot from Gail, and I'm just looking forward to next week.
Yeah, we got another jam-packed week, and hey, I'm doing some videos out there, so take a look, see what you think, comment on them, and everybody, thank you very much once again. Have a wonderful week. Be safe. Ree, be safe. Don't do anything stupid. And have a wonderful time. And we'll talk soon.